2 weeks ago, we decided to see two different things called the seed and the branch. Okay, and it may surprise you because today when we look at the seed, we're going to review that and go fairly quickly, that the Messiah was called a seed. And it goes all the way back to Genesis, and you should be in Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to go through this quickly since we saw this several weeks ago. And then we'll look at the branch. Now, the branch is unusual. You may have, if I said to you, is one of the titles of the Messiah the branch? You might look at me and go, I don't know if I've ever heard him called the branch. Well, he is the branch. And we'll look at it because it's pretty amazing. It ties back in to the fact that he is a king and he's a servant and he's man and he's God. And we'll see it as we go through it. So let's think about the seed, okay? Let me just remind you, and we'll go through it fairly quickly. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, if you remember, man has fallen. Mankind was put in the garden, told that they could eat any of the trees except don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that they eat from that fruit, they would die, and they would surely die. Dying spiritually, they'd die physically. Ultimately, as we know that the woman, she's not named Eve until afterwards, but it's the woman took the fruit, gave it to him, that took it, ate it, gave it to Adam, and they ate, and they fell. God comes along, of course, and he's coming to provide a way of salvation. And he actually tells them in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he's talking basically to the serpent at that time, but he says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel. And so that's the first promise that a Savior, that a Messiah is coming. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that is the seed. I think man has fallen. God is giving the judgment, the consequences. And we see what we call the seed of woman, and the Messiah is going to come as the seed of woman. Now, we all know that that's a little bit weird because man has the seed, not the woman. But what's going to happen is we know all the way through it goes to Mary, who is the virgin, who the Holy Spirit comes upon her and produces the Messiah, the seed of woman, who is Jesus Christ. Now, what I wanted you to see is that the title of the Savior, Jesus, is the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of Judah, the seed of David, all the way up to Joseph and Mary and the seed of the woman Mary. That's what we're going to see. We talked about it last time, but let's start first. The first issue is the seed. The first thing is the seed of woman. Now, I want you to look down to Genesis 12. Just flip over a few pages. You'll have to kind of move along. And we meet somebody else. We meet Abram. And in Genesis 12, basically verse 3, God says to Abram, which we know him as Abraham, I will bless those that bless you, I'll curse those that curse you, and in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. The only way that all the families of the earth could be blessed is that the Messiah is coming through Abraham. And so we put down here that God chose Abraham, and the next slide I think says it, that all the nations be blessed, the seed of Abraham, the Messiah, will come. So we got seed of woman. And listen, I want you to see that God is narrowing it down every time. The seed of woman in their mind, in Adam and Eve's mind, the seed of woman, it could be, okay, it could be really what? Any what? Any woman in their mind. And when they had their first child, what was his name? What was his name? Cain. That name means he has come. The idea, they basically said, I think this is the one. They found out very quickly he wasn't the one. And so from the seed of woman now, it's narrowed down to the seed of Abraham. So that means this Messiah is going to come through the man, Abraham, we call the first what? First what? Jew. That's exactly right. Okay, now, this is what we saw last time, that Abraham has a son. His son is named Isaac, Genesis 17, 15 and 16, 19, 20. The seed of Isaac, the Messiah will come. I want you to flip over there just real quickly, Genesis 17, look at verse 15. This is what's amazing. Genesis 17, verse 15, God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, what does the name Sarai mean? It means griper and nagger. You shall not call her Sarai, but you shall call her what? Sarah, which means princess. And so Abraham's wife's now going to get her name changed. And he said, I'm going to bless her, and indeed I'm going to give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she'll be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come through her. Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Are you sure? I mean, she's 90, I'm 100, and all of that. And then down at verse 19, no, Sarah, your wife, will bear a son. You shall name him Isaac. What does that mean? It means laughter. They're going to name him laughter. And in verse 21, my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this next season. So Abraham's going to have a son. Abraham's son is going to be Isaac, and the Messiah is going to come through Isaac. Then later, Isaac has a son. What's his son's name? And by the way, let me ask you a question. Did Abraham have more than one son? What was his two sons' names? Ishmael and Isaac. But the promise is coming through Isaac. Okay, now we got Isaac has a son named Jacob. Did Isaac have more than one son? What was his son? Jacob and Esau. But where's the promise going to come? He says the seed of Jacob, and his name gets changed. In fact, in Genesis 28, we won't take the time to read that, but the Messiah, Isaac's going to, stay back on that slide just for a second. The Messiah is going to come from Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob gets his name changed. Anybody remember what Jacob's name gets changed to? Israel. So he's no longer deceiver, because that's what the name Jacob means. Jacob means to grab from behind. It means actually to grab the heel. It means to trip somebody up, to deceive them, to make them stumble, to make them fall. That's what his name meant. But God then changed his name from Jacob to Israel, which means Prince of God. And so that's the Messiah is going to come through him. So Isaac has a son named Jacob, and the seed of Jacob is coming. And then later on, of course, we kind of press it through this way. The seed of Jacob, the Messiah, will come. And then Jacob had how many sons? 12. And one of those sons was named Judah. We're not mentioning it here, but Judah had a promise. Judah had a promise that the king, the Messiah, would come through him. And so we have the seed of woman to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and then later on, this man right here, a man by the name of David. And 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we're not going to turn there. Go ahead. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12, basically 12 through 17, the promises to David. As you remember, we talked about this last week, so I'm going to go very quickly through this last time. If you remember that David was in a paneled house. David had built a palace for himself, and it really was amazing. But God dwelt where? In the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a tent. It's a temporary dwelling place. It was a place that they carried all around. After they got the Mosaic Law on Mount Sinai, they made a tabernacle, a temporary place, and they carried that all around all 40 years after they come into the land. They still, even if it's in Jerusalem, they still have never had a permanent place for where God would meet with his people. David looks out the window. It may have been bad weather or something. He thought, you know, look where God meets with us. It's a tent. I think I need to build a house for him. And he goes to the prophet Nathan and says, I'm going to build a house for God. And Nathan says, it sounds like a great idea. Nathan goes home, goes to sleep. God comes to Nathan in a dream and says, no, David will not build a house for me. And so he comes back to David and says, God told me, this is Nathan the prophet talking to David, God told me to tell you, you're not going to build it. Your son's going to build it. You're not going to build it, but God's going to build something for you. He's going to build a kingdom through you that will never end. He's going to bring someone through you that will rule as the king forever. It can't be who? Can't be Solomon, right? Because what happened to Solomon? He died, and then there was Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and then there was all those other Boams and Rasums and everybody, all these names. And what happened? None of them ruled on the throne of Israel for how long? Forever. In fact, right now, who is the king of Israel? Who's the king of Israel? There's not one. When the nation of Israel was taken into captivity in 605, 598, 585 BC, three deportations. They were all taken into captivity. When they came back from captivity 70 years later, who was the king of Israel? No king. No king. The promise to David is he'd have a son who'd sit on the throne forever. There's no king. At the time that Jesus was on the earth, who was the king of Israel? What? No king. Who ruled the world? Rome did. People, what did the Jewish people say? We have no king but Caesar. Jesus came and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did Jesus offer himself to his people? He's the king. He's the king that goes back to who? To David. He's the son of David. He's the descendant of David. And so when we say the seed of David, when Jesus was called that, the son of David, the seed of David, that's the Messiah, and he's going to be the king and the Messiah. Let me remind you of one thing, and I'm just going to put this up there, and we talked about it last week. In John chapter 7, they got a big argument. People were arguing about Jesus, and some people said he can't be the Messiah. And some people said, why can't he be the Messiah? They said because he's from Nazareth, and we all know the Messiah must come from Bethlehem. They just didn't know. Because all they knew about Jesus is what? He was Jesus of Nazareth. They were confused. They didn't know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. A lot of them didn't. A lot of them did. But Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and so there was the argument because they knew that he had to be a descendant of David. I threw this up last time. If you remember, Galatians 4:4, exactly in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son born of a woman, born under law. He came to be the seed of woman. He came as the descendant of David. He came as the son or the descendant of Abraham to Isaac, to Jacob, to David. Jesus Christ is the seed. Matthew, I think Romans 1:3, according to the flesh, he's the son of David, the seed of David. And then Matthew tells us in Matthew 1:1, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. If you're going to be a descendant as the king of the Jews, you got to come from Abraham and who? David, and that's exactly who Jesus is. He is the seed. So when you think about Jesus, you say the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you could say Judah, David, and then on to Mary and Joseph. Now, Joseph had no part in that. Mary and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he's the seed. So one of the prophecies, and notice how everything got narrowed down. Seed of woman, all women, seed of Abraham, all Jews, seed of Isaac. When I say all Jews, all descendants of Abraham, now no, it's all descendants of Abraham through Isaac. It's all descendants of Abraham through Isaac through Jacob. And it's all descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob through Judah. And it's all through David. And it gets narrowed down all the way. And do you remember what the angel said to Mary when Gabriel came to Mary to tell her she was going to have a child? Do you remember what the angel said to her? You shall have a son, and he will sit on the throne of his father, David. So Mary knew that the baby she was about to have was the descendant of David who would sit on the throne as the king. That's the Messiah. That's the Savior. So when you think of seed of woman, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, and on to Mary. And those are prophecies concerning the Messiah. So if you said the son of Abraham, you're really talking about the Messiah. If you said the son of Isaac, the son of Jacob, the son of David, because it kept getting narrowed down. Okay, any questions about the seed? Okay, because we talked about that one 2 weeks ago. All right, we got another title, which is surprising. Okay, and we'll have to go through it fairly quickly. But this one's called the branch. How many of you ever heard the Messiah called the branch? Anybody ever heard him called the branch before? The branch. None of you have ever heard him called the branch. Huh? You have? I did a study probably about 20 years ago. It's the last time I ever dealt with this, and I showed how Jesus Christ is the branch. Okay? Now I want you to see something. I want you to turn to Jeremiah. Okay? Go to, if you get to Isaiah, and then Jeremiah. Okay, if you get to sort of the middle of the Bible, to Psalms and all that, kind of keep going to Ecclesiastes and Isaiah and Jeremiah, and go to Jeremiah 33. And I want you to see something. Okay, most everybody there? Notice this, Jeremiah 33. And Jeremiah is, of course, a prophet, right? What's his nickname? Anybody know? What? Why? Why is he the weeping prophet? Somebody step on his foot? Ow. No. When Jeremiah wrote, he wrote two books, Jeremiah and Lamentations. What does Lamentations mean? Sadness. He saw the destruction of Israel by the Babylonians. He saw it. From 605 B.C. to 598 B.C. to 585 B.C., he saw thousands and thousands and thousands of people killed. If you read Lamentations, he writes it, and he said, the Lord's loving kindness and deeds never cease. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. What? Great is thy faithfulness. That was written in Lamentations when he was seeing the destruction of his people. Because he said, if God took us off to captivity like he promised, what will he do? He will what? He will bring us back from captivity just like he promised. Now watch what he says. Verse 14, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, writes and says, behold, this is 33:14. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous, what? Branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. The righteous branch of who? So the righteous branch, the branch is who? Who is that? That's the Messiah. That's Jesus. Okay, so let's talk about it. We've got the righteous branch, of course, is Jesus Christ. And if you think about it, I want you to think at this. Think. The branch is the Messiah. Did I put anything else? I didn't put Abraham. No, I didn't. It just says the branch is Messiah. Okay, the branch is Messiah. And think about this. This branch is the seed of woman. This branch is the Savior. This branch is all the things we've seen. Now, something that you may be surprised by. You remember in the Old Testament, we said there were four views of the Messiah that were fulfilled by Jesus Christ in the New Testament, written about in what books? Because there were four views of the Messiah in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in the New Testament, shown in the Gospels. What are those views? Do you remember? The king, okay? He's going to be a king, and that was fulfilled. That was shown in what book? Matthew. What else was he shown to be? A servant. That was shown in what book? Mark. He was shown to be what else? A man. That was shown in what book? Luke. He's shown to be what? God. That was shown in what book? John. Okay, so we know that there were four views of the Messiah that were fulfilled in the four Gospels, showing that Jesus indeed is the king, the servant, the man, and God. Guess what? There are four aspects of the coming branch. Guess what they're going to be? King, servant, man, God. If you've never seen this, this is one of the most amazing things in the Scripture. I want you to see him as the king. Turn to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Okay, look at verse 5, Jeremiah 23, look at verse 5, and we're going to go fast just because we're running out of time, but look at this, Jeremiah 23, verse 5, Jeremiah says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. Now, since we've been studying the names of God, what name do you have there? What's your name? It's YHWH. It's the personal name of God because it's all capital. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. But days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David, what? A righteous what? And he will what? Reign as? Who's going to reign as king? No. Well, it is. But who is it saying? The righteous branch will reign as the king. Okay? The king. I think it's important that we see that. And that's powerful. Let me show you that. So that Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, days are coming. He's going to raise up for David a king. I don't want you to have to turn there, but the next slide I think shows it. He's going to reign as king. The branch, the Messiah, will be the king who rules the world. Okay? I think, is there another slide? Yeah. There's also Jeremiah 33, 15 and 17. He's the one who rules the world. So the branch is also called the what? What is it? The king is exactly right. Okay, now, what's the second one? What's the second one? Servant, okay? Turn to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah, almost to the end of the Old Testament. What's after Zechariah? Malachi. Zechariah chapter 3. So go to the end of the Old Testament and come back a book and a half. Okay, the branch is called the what? The king. The branch is called the what? The servant. Look at Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. He says, "Now listen, Joshua, the high priest. You and your friends are sitting in front of you. Indeed, they are men who are going to be symbols. For behold, I'm going to bring in my servant," who? The branch. It's amazing. I'm going to bring in my servant, the branch. So here's what we find. The branch is the what? Okay, what's the third one? What's the third one? Man, okay? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 4. These are all prophecies. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Zechariah 6. What's on your handout? Zechariah 6? I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong place. You're exactly right. We're still in Zechariah. My fault. That's only the 100th time I messed up today. So I'm doing really good so far. Zechariah 6, okay? What are we looking for this time? Man. Zechariah 6, look at verse 12. "Then say to him, thus says the" who? "The Lord of hosts. Behold, a man whose name is Branch, for he will branch out from where he is, and he will build the temple of the Lord." Now watch, this is something unique about this man. "Yes, it is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will rule on the throne. Thus he will be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace will be between his two offices." This man will have what two offices? King and priest. Who, Jesus is what? The king and the priest. That's who he is. He's a man, okay? King to rule, priest to die. The God-man. One more. And that is Isaiah 4. Oh, we better show it. Yeah, the branch is a man. I'm going to show you that one. Now, he doesn't really say God in this passage, but he calls him beautiful and glorious. So I want you to see it. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be what? Beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride and the adornment of the survival of Israel. And it talks about he comes out and comes to Zion, and Jerusalem will be called holy after that, and he's going to wash away the filth of all the people, and he will create over Mount Zion the whole world. And so he is, that best we can say, the branch is going to be the glorious God. So the branch is going to be what? Man. And God, and King, and servant. The prophecies of the Old Testament fulfilled in the four Gospels. And we say the Gospels show Jesus is God. Well, we say the Gospels show Jesus is the King. Well, the branch is the King. We say the Gospels show that Jesus is the servant. The branch is the servant. The Gospel shows that Jesus is man. Well, the branch is a man. And the Gospel shows us that Jesus is King, is God. Well, the branch is God. And so he is the King, the servant, man, and God, all fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So what have we seen? The seed of woman, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, and on to Mary. We've seen the branch. The branch is going to be a king. The branch is going to be a servant. The branch is going to be a man. And the branch is going to be God. And all of that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That is amazing. So now you can all say that you have heard that Jesus is called the branch because he's the king and the servant and man and God. Let me give you some applications, okay? Study the names of God so we can see God's character through his names. That's one of the reasons we're doing this study. One of the reasons we looked at the Old Testament names of God and the New Testament names of God, and then the reasons we looked at some different other things, and then we looked at all these different ideas and prophecy. And next week, we're going to begin looking at the names of God at his birth, at the birth of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see how amazing it is. So study the names of God so we can see his character. Second, realize that Jesus Christ is the what? He's the seed of Mary, woman. Yeah, there it is. takes it all the way through. And last but not least, realize that Jesus Christ is the branch. He is the one who is what? King of kings, servant of Jehovah, perfect man, and God. He is the king who will rule the world. He is the servant who came to die. He is came to fulfill the will of the Father. He is the perfect man who, according to what we see from the branch, he is going to be a king and a priest, because he's the man who can be the king to rule forever. He can be the priest who dies for the sins. He's the God-man. And then we see that he is God, the Word who became flesh. Wow. May we worship our Savior, the seed, the branch.